With us now, we have John Tamahere. Morena, John. Kei te pēhea koe.
Nā kanui tōna.
Ka pai. Hey, how's the Te Pāti Māori going in dealing with our coalition government?
Well, not working out too well, obviously, is it? The fact of the matter is that you've got a National Party whose policies we didn't necessarily agree with to start with, and then they've got a coalition with two coalition partners who are just absolutely opposed to Māori progress, Māori constitutional entitlements, the Māori reo, and it just goes on and on. So what we just have to continue to do is believe in ourselves and keep building our organisation, building our whānaus to support and register and poll up, whether it's at local government, which has been ripped out, or wherever else, because it's a never-ending story, our story of emancipation or liberation or whatever anyone wants to put on it. It's just a never-ending story because as tangata whenua, we've got nowhere else to go. Can't jump on a plane and go back to a village somewhere in the islands, or can't jump on a plane and go somewhere back to Europe or wherever from whence came from. And so what we've got to do is just continue to win incrementally as we do all our rights back as usual.
There's this feeling of stoicism amongst Māori organisations, like, okay, the government's doing this, we just keep on going, following our plan. And is that what your Te Pāti Māori is doing?
Well, the problem you've got with a government that wants to assert that we all have to start acting like nice white New Zealanders is an impossibility, because I can't. I tried that. I went to the university, got their law degree, got their arts degree, got all that sort of stuff. And I tried to be a nice white brown person. It never worked. Because you'll never meet their standards. You'll always come up short, right? You'll always be unworthy, untrustworthy, lesser than, all that sort of stuff. And so all we need to do is just concentrate on being good Māori people without any care or worry about how people rate us and put us down and change our view of our value proposition and ourselves. So I think we're in this government's doing us a very good favour in actually making people come to the conclusion that I've come to, that it's okay to be impolite by saying I'm proud to be a Māori. And that's not impolite. That's actually just asserting the way I feel. And that's in a free democracy, I should be allowed to say that without getting beat up, without my reo being challenged, without my health system and equality of rights to the same health system as Parkers being tossed out the door. And it just goes on and on. So I just think we're in a marvellous time where these challenges actually makes us grow stronger.
Yep. And I was looking at what's happening in terms of, the race. Well, is it racism? What's happening at our universities with Māori students being picked on because of claims of what is it? You're favoured because you've got a little tiny cupboard to go and hide, or have a free space.
Yeah, well, listen, I was on campus when lots of these rights that were excluded to us, we started to assert, because you need safe environments if you're a beat-up minority. And so that's why we provide, in all institutions, a prayer room for Muslims to pray. That's why, and if it's okay for Muslims who've been here 5 minutes, and we say it is, it's okay for Māoris who have been here 1,000 years. And so when I was on campus, we had no places. And so we immediately organised the Māori Students Association at Auckland University those days. This is 79, 80. And organised ourselves very well to have a safe space where Māori could go and congregate and then move into the general population, because they had a fallback position where they were honoured for who they were, respected for who they were, and we have shared value systems as Māori. And that doesn't make us a separatist, that makes us an Indigenous person with rights. Okay, so I'm not trying to go to somebody else's country and change the rules. I'm in my own country already, was always in my own country already, and somebody else changed the rules only without my permission. So when we got that room through the University Students Association, I was secretary of the Māori Students Association in those days. A fellow called Hauraki Greenland was our president. Kodri Huata, one of the Huatas, was there. So we then pursued quotas at med school and at law school. Now, why you go for quotas is because, by and large, the majority of Māori children go to schools where education is poor. Not the children are poor, but what they're exposed to on education campuses is not as good as a decile, say, 9 or 10, 7 or 8 kid. And so by the time we get to campuses trying to have aspirations, our markup rates and our numeracy literacy status is very challenged. It doesn't make us stupid people. It doesn't make us dumb houris. So then what happens is that, here's the magic of the quota system, 98% of all Māori that participate in the med school quota system or the law school quota system pass. Now, they would never get a pass if they were rated on a system that was already discriminatory and prejudiced against them by not allowing them access. You see? Yeah. Now, so all of this is getting equality of opportunity. When you get a fool saying that it's Ku Klux Klan, Māori have never burnt nobody at a stake. We haven't burnt churches down. We haven't burnt anything down. We haven't been separatists in that regard. The people that have separated us from our culture and brought racism here are white folk.
And yet now we've got the preferential, what's called preferential treatment, under review by this present government, even for med school, according to Dr. Shane Reretti, who himself went through on a preferential treatment, a preferential entry into med school.
Oh, well, they've got form on this. Paula Bennett, we just call it Paula Benefit out here in West Auckland, she withdrew benefits and entitlements for young solo mothers to get qualifications. It's solely because if they didn't finish one course. Now, when you're a solo mother with young children or a young baby, and she was, and she got preferential treatment. She didn't get preferential treatment. She got a right and entitlement as a solo mother to have a go at lifting her learning, her academic capacity, and therefore her job prospects. And she got fully funded into a fully funded social house. She got fully funded through the whole of her arts degree. And then when she became a minister of the Crown, she then cut that, lifted the ladder up and refused anyone else to get on the ladder to go up in society as well. And so, they got form on this sort of stuff. But they've also got whakapapa, you see. And they use that soccer pub and they weaponize it against us. Yes. So as a consequence, I don't care whether they've got soccer pub. I care what they do with it. If they're going to weaponize it against their own people, well, then they have to be called out for it.
Ka pai. Okay, then. One more last thing is there's changes pending for charitable trusts, which includes so many marae and Māori health organisations. Is this an attack on us, or is this just a resetting of the rules?
Well, there's two things going on here. One is, if you look at all the donors of National Act and New Zealand First, they're the billionaires that made their money through the privatisation of public assets. No doubt about that. This guy, Graham Hart, is one of the worst. Okay, makes out that he is a 14-year-old plumber and all the rest of it, but got his big break in the privatisation at low prices, at preferred rates, from a Labor government. Now, and you can go right through to Joyce, that all of them got privatisation of, he got privatisation of frequencies. And Preble sits on a company called Mainfreight, privatised, got rid of the railways, drove everything out onto the roads and trucking. Next minute, Mainfreight, of course, was going to be a major recipient of all that. So this is all about looking after their mates. It's got nothing to do with economics. It's got everything to do with who's actually paying the piper to sing that tune. You know, if they were Māori doing this, you know, there'd be investigations, corruption allegations, just a graft. In the United States, they call this conduct graft. It would be unacceptable under the laws in the US. But there you go. You know, that's the sort of parallel universe we live in. There's one law for the rich and well-off in this country, and there's another law for the poor.
Mm. Well, thank you again for your insightful comments, John Tamihere. Thank you for coming and speaking with us this morning.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.